Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Hello and welcome to the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, Kyle. This week on the conversation for Thursday, something Senator John Kerry said that got applause that's scary. Why have media after what he said? Colin Kaepernick's mom has actually, denounced, I wish he wasn't my son, but he's biologically my son, but I wish he wasn't. She's, denounced him. Also, Travis Randolph is a wide receiver, and he is the leading, he led the Seminoles in receiving last year, and something he did for a young kid means the world, and shows you that little things can make a change. Also, Donald Trump's visit to Mexico, did it go over well, or did it not? Well, it depends who you ask. Also, 5 states are going to legalize cannabis recreationally in November if they pass. I think the tide's going in the right direction. We'll find out. Also, many college kids were asked this, to recite the national anthem. They failed miserably. It's a disgrace. You should know your national anthem. Also, Kim Jong-un killed one of his high-ranking officials because during a meeting he fell asleep, dozed off. Is that coming here? It is, and I'll explain in what form. What happened on August 31st in 2004 that changed Manchester United forever for the small sum of £27 million? I'll get into that and much, much more. So thank you for the conversation that you're a part of. The verse of the day is Hebrews 12:14, New Living Translation. Work at living in peace with life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Kind of think about that as you're going through your day to day. And thank you for tuning into the program. Really appreciate it. I really take every listener that listens, and they mean the world to me. So thank you so much. And I want to read something that will kind of goes along with that quote of the day and stuff. It's the beginning lyrics to Day One by Matthew West. And it's kind of fitting, because this is how I think we all are, Well, I wish I had a short-term memory. I wish the only thing my eyes could see was the future burning bright right in front of me. But I can't stop looking back. Yeah, I wish it was the picture perfect of somebody who's never not good enough. I try to measure up, but I mess it up. And I wish it wasn't like that. I wish I wasn't wishing anymore. I wish I could remember that no one's keeping score. I'm tired of throwing pennies in the well. I got to do something. Here goes nothing. Stay one of the rest of my life. And that's what you got to think of. You got to do something. That's what I do. That's why I do this show, You got to look at the future, but you got to know your history. When I talk about it later, all these college kids that didn't know the national anthem, it's sad. But first, I want to get into this where John Kerry is getting applause saying this about terrorism. That the media should not report on it because then the people will not know what's going on. How'd you figure what? Who? What? Don't report on terrorism? It'll just go away. Don't report on it. Don't worry. Just don't report on it. 100,000 people were killed. I'll just don't report it. Whatever. Someone in Iowa had a bomb strapped to their chest and yelled out, Akbar, don't report it. Don't worry about it. It'll just go away. It's only going to make things worse if we report the truth, you know? That's why we have WikiLeaks to tell us what's really going on, because the media ain't doing their job. Because you have people applauding them saying, don't report terrorism. It's a great idea. John Kerry, are you psycho? Are you sick? What? I mean, but then look what happens when liberal media personalities question the health care Hillary's getting and the fact that she has health issues, and they're canned. Well, I'd rather be fired than killed, so they got the better of the two ends of the deal. There's two ends of the deal. Get killed or fired. I'll take fired. But that's where we're at. We need WikiLeaks to do our job for us because the media isn't. Folks, what we're going to do here is, I mean, imagine if Barack Obama was on 9/11. He'd be like, Officer Barbary, move along now. Nothing to see here. Really? The two Twin Towers just came down. Move along now. There's nothing to see here. No terrorism involved. They had autopilot malfunction. Move along now. Well, sir, a plane went into the Pentagon. Move along now. Nothing to see here. So we magically had five airplanes on 9/11 have autopilot malfunction. That's what they would say. I can't believe anyone is cheering the fact that that he is suggesting that we don't cover terrorist events. Watch the BBC if you can. You will see, you will be scared. Watch about 2 weeks of the BBC and you will see stories that don't even make it to the US. And you will see how censored our news is. It's scary. I have liberal friends and I'll give them a viewpoint like this and say, okay, whatever, Fox News. I'm like, that's from the BBC. Thank you very much. You know, it's scary that you need people like me to get the truth out there. I mean, I don't mind doing it. I mean, it's something I guess I like doing this. You know, I don't know if I would. I mean, if I was offered full time, would I do this? Maybe. I don't know. I think if I did it full time, I'd probably have more than just me working on this, or it wouldn't be just me doing the research, me verifying stories, or me, you know, what have you. You know, I'd have hopefully at least a couple people, hey, I found this out, I did this, so I wouldn't be alone. But, you know, it's just one of those things that I was shocked when I'm like, okay, where's this world coming to? But it doesn't surprise me, because there was a new Fox poll that came out, like, it's a wide poll, and I think it was many organizations did this, and over half of voters feel less safe now than they did before 9/11. You know, you would think, okay, 9/11 happened, we're going to do things to make it better, make America more secure, and people feel less safe. That's scary, you know that. But it goes to the point that what, you know, the Communist News Network, or now called the Clinton News Network, all the, you know, that's why no one watches, because it's been bought and paid for, and they're tired of it. That's why Alex Jones, he's getting ratings. So is the Blaze. So are the Young Turks. That's why people tune in to me. Because I want to hear what the paid-for media isn't saying. And just as a precautionary thing, I love life. I don't ever want to die. Question a heart attack if I have one. Question it. Because I have a great heart. Question it. Because people like us have exposed the truth, you know. But it's nice to see, as I move on, the biological mother of Colin Kaepernick calling him out and saying she's like embarrassed and like, Lord help him. And I guess they're having like a football game in San Diego, you know, like a military game salute thing. And he's not going to stand. He wasn't going to stand and say, well, there's the door out. There's the exit door of the stadium. Get your bleeping ass out. Get it out. If you are so discriminated against and you're oppressed. I want to play in the NFL and have the money he has and the life he has and say I'm oppressed. Pardon me. But yeah. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it. I really don't get it. But I mean, that's this new way of thinking, you know. That's this new way of thinking. That's what we have to do. We have to sit there and, oh, gee, I don't have what he has. I'm being oppressed, even though he got up at 5 a.m. and went to the gym and practiced before school till 7 a.m. every single day. He worked hard. And I just sat on the couch or in my beanbag chair naked eating Cheetos and wondered why I didn't have success. No, it's not oppression because you sat naked in a beanbag chair eating Cheetos. Like Ron White. No, it's because you didn't try. You know, it's day one of the rest of your life. There's nothing you did that's too unforgivable for God. I believe. Move forward. Do something. But you have these people that like, I'm oppressed. I'm an NFL quarterback. I have an $11 million home, but I'm oppressed. I mean, if he's talking about oppression with, I mean, what's he wearing? A Fidel Castro shirt? And he's talking about being oppressed? How does that make sense? I got my North Korean flag around me, even though, you know, they're the biggest oppressors, but whatever. I'm not standing up. You know, we have one of the freest nations. We're not perfect, but we're one of the freest nations. I don't know where this like I'm owed mentality comes from. Like, you know, I was brought up in a you want it, you earn it. You want it, you earn it. You know, you want to have some fancy birthday party? Okay, this is what we will get for you. But if you want those special decorations, you're going to have to take some of your money, work for it, and pitch in for it. You want to have that bike? We'll pay. This is $50. We'll buy a bike. That's what we're going to pay. If you want this $110 bike, you come up with the $60, and we'll put our $50 towards your... You know, and you can get that. We want you to see that, you know, you can get a bike for $50. But if you want to, you're going to earn that bike. We're not just going to give it to you. You know, I don't know where this, like, give me, I'm owed. You know, like these, like, there's been tons of videos where, like, lady, like, they're interviewing people, like, no one's telling me my kids are going hungry, You ain't telling me that my kids are going to go without. Well, do something about it. What would you do if there was no government? Someone's going to be hooking up my ABT card and put money on there. I ain't going to work for my babies. My babies are going to starve, but they ain't going to starve because you're going to help me. Someone's going to be paying for the... No. You had the fun of having sex... And the pleasure that comes along with it, and you created the baby, you should be the one taking care of it. You know, my wife can't have kids, so the passing on the family name for me is basically done. But, you know, if I had a kid, and we've kind of looked into it somehow, but if I had a kid, I'd be responsible for it. I'd be doing stuff. I'd be paying for it. I'd be taking care of it. I'd feel bad if I had to use the government. I'd say, okay, yeah, we have a tough time, and I just need enough to get me over the hump. But there's no getting over the hump. It's a trap. Well, it's like those payday loan things. By the time you pay the, there are people that get like a $200 loan by the time they're bankrupt because they can't afford to pay the interest back. But that's how it is. It's a trap, like I've said millions of times. The war on poverty made it worse. The poverty rates were going down. I always ask myself this, like, where did this notion come that, like, I'm owed all this stuff? Like, well, oh, because I got a baby, you have to put money on my EBT card. I have to be able to, my kids have to eat. You have to pay for it. You know, you can't take away my unemployment because, so they get a job just so they can get cool, so that they can get fired, so they can get unemployment. Since I have a kid, you can't take away my unemployment. You can't do this. You can't do that. No matter who they are, white, black, Native American, Japanese, Chinese. You know, my wife works two jobs. I work a good 60 hours a week to have what we have, the little bit we have, the stuff we take great, we're grateful for. And, you know, I'm in the need of a car, you know, and I wouldn't mind help with it, you know, but I want to help. I want to buy the car. You know, if someone said, hey, you know, I'm blessed. I have millions of dollars. You know, I want to help you out because you need a new vehicle. Okay. I'm not going to turn it down, but I'm not expecting that. I want to do it myself. I want to say, look what I have. Because I have a 2000 Mustang, and that thing has been run to the ground because I love Mustangs and I have fun with it. But it's been run to the ground by me, I paid for it. I had, it's great memories. These things are workhorses. Because it's a Ford, and hopefully you've driven one lately. You know? But wow. I want to get into this story that I'm sure you've heard about this one, but I'm in Florida. There was a guy by the name of Travis Randolph. He's a wide receiver for the Florida Seminoles. He led them last year in receiving. He was a leading receiver. And they went to this like elementary school. And there was a kid sitting by himself, and he introduced himself and goes, can I sit with you? And this kid was like elated, like, someone wants to sit with me? The guy's name is, Bo Paskey, I think is how you pronounce it. It's B-O, and it's P-A-S-K-E. I'm horrible with names, so bear with me. You know, and this kid always used to sit by himself, having nobody, doing nothing. And this football player came up and was just like, talked with him and ate lunch with him. And, you know, and his mom was on like cloud nine because she didn't have to worry whether or not he was going to have someone to sit with, because God forbid no one wants to sit with him because he has autism. Ooh, darn. She's 250 pounds. I don't want to sit next to her. I might miss out on the greatest friendship of my life. You may be missing one of the greatest people in the world. Who knows? you have to learn how to communicate with them and vice versa. But that little bit of sitting next to the table and talking to him changed that boy's life. And it's a feel-good story. Because I just think it's great that, you know, he just like, hey, how you doing? You know, I remember a day called 9/11 when there was no worry about, no one was on a political side. There was no color issue or religion issue. Everyone came together. You know, and just, it's just great to do stories once in a while. You know, and Travis just felt great and went up to this, asked if he could sit down with this guy, and the photo was snapped. And it just, because I guess a bunch of them came and had lunch, you know, kind of like a meet and greet thing. And it was just one of those things that, you know, that it's good to get out there and just, you know, because that way it's more than just negative Nancy on the airways, you know. But his mom was just on cloud nine. She wrote him a whole letter and, you know, and because it just, sitting down at the table, that's all he did, and struck up a conversation. And it changed the boy's life. Got about 38 minutes left in the program, and I really want to thank you all for tuning in, and, you know, because I have people that listen from all over. So it does mean the world, and so thank you. And if you caught this yesterday, Donald Trump went to Mexico. Was it a success or was it a failure? Depends who you ask. I'm getting into that right now. Mexicans were like, what the heck? Like, they thought it was going to be like a World War III, you know, like, well, you want to build a wall, what the heck? Da-da. And it wasn't like that at all. But you got to understand, because I post a lot on, like, political stuff, and there was a video where Donald Trump was live in Arizona doing, like, a thing on immigration, and I posted this. Basically, I'm sick and tired of having people that I've worked with that get, but they're using someone else's social security number, name, information, you know, to get a job. I'm not against legal immigrants. I'm against illegal immigrants, no matter where they come from. You know, Russia, China, Mexico, don't matter. If they're illegal, they shouldn't be here. And you got human trafficking that's big across the border. You got drugs coming over here in droves. You got cartels with human trafficking and human sexting and all this stuff where they're taking women and they're bringing them across the border. And okay, you're gonna earn us money, $100 a trick to have sex, and you're gonna earn your freedom. So you can, you know, and they don't know any English, so they can't get away because they can't communicate with anybody. All these things are happening, and who knows who's getting across the border that's not a Mexican, that's a potential terrorist. We gotta secure our border. And I think they wanted a two-way street. I think they wanted to have like an all-out brawl. But when they seem to come together on what they agree upon instead of what they disagree upon, things can get done. I remember hearing a story where Ronald Reagan was on the plane and he was having a hard time talking. And he goes to Gorbachev, let's start this all over again. Hi, I'm Ronald Reagan. And, you know, you can do a lot when you put differences aside. And I think that's a big thing that happened. Because you saw because I see a real president in Trump. And there was tons of hate for Trump on this live feed. And a bunch of people like, well, I hate Trump. And, da, da, da. And this guy goes, well, how can you stand for Hillary? For, you know, I'm more afraid of what Hillary's done than what Trump said. He goes, well, this lady goes, well, I don't like Hillary either. and a bunch, and the major consensus is there's a lot of people on that were like, I don't want Trump or Hillary. I don't want either of them. You know, Gary Johnson was posted a lot. But he is so, I mean, him and the Green Party candidate are so far behind. I mean, they would have to have drastic, because there are some people that claim that Trump doesn't even have a chance with Hillary. So how would a Gary Johnson, when Trump's pulling way higher? It's nuts. But I think it was a success. You know, he's doing things. But I think Hillary has health issues. I really think she has major health issues that they're hoping they can slide by until she gets into the war. And hopefully she gets elected, and then they can, you know. But I really think she's having health issues. And I think these debates, Trump can seriously do stuff and get her, you know, hit buttons and have her collapse and okay. I don't want to see anyone hurt. If she's really having these health issues, which some of these liberals have been fired for bringing out. I mean, her own people have put out the thing that she's had a stroke. That's not debatable. Because I have a friend, oh, Hillary's fine. Oh, quit making up this health crap. I'm like, you truly don't follow the news. Because they've sent out their own memo stating she has had a stroke, and this is what they've done. The stroke that Hillary's had is not debatable. But, hey, you can take a horse to the lake, but you can't force them to drink. I can educate some of my friends, but it's up to them if they want to follow it, believe it, or whatever. As I move on, folks, this is another thing. WikiLeaks, another email dump, where Nancy Pelosi put out like a memo saying that these are for Democrats, eyes only. Like, this doesn't go out. This isn't, okay, you do whatever you have to kind of kiss the Black Lives Matter movement, but don't do anything. Don't commit to anything. Don't come up with any policies, nothing. We're not here to help these people. We're doing whatever we can. Just hopefully it goes away on its own. We don't care about blacks. We don't want to help them. We're not doing anything. Don't talk about all lives matter or black on black crimes, because it will garner additional media scrutiny and only anger people. Just try to do as little as possible, and hopefully this thing will, maybe if we don't report about it, it will just go away. Why not? It's going to work with ISIS. Maybe if we don't report about Saddam Hussein, he would have just went away. Well, we know that didn't happen. You know what I mean? I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't get it. You know, we don't have media. We have WikiLeaks. Well, thank God we have them, because they're exposing stuff. But you're still going to have blacks that are going to, you need to shove that in the black's face and say, this is an email that was taken and hacked from Democrat Nancy Pelosi, basically telling Democrats, just do the littlest you can to try to get this Black Lives Matter to go away. We're not doing anything. We're not going to help them. We're not going to commit anything. No policies, nothing. Basically, short and sweet of the article was like, we don't care about, like, we want their vote, but other than that, we don't care about them. If Democrats really cared about black people, the inner cities would be not like they are. South Chicago would not be like it is. Detroit would not be like it is. Compton, Watson, South Central wouldn't be like it is. There's no white Tea Party Republicans in that area. There's no GOP. It's all black Democrat-run areas. That's fact. It's not debatable. But, and that email that just came out from Nancy Pelosi, basically he's doing what the media should be doing, proving yet again that Democrats only care about getting the blacks to vote for them. Other than that, they don't care about them. They never have. They never will. Like I posted on my Facebook page about like a year and a half ago, and a year ago, these videos where it's a bunch of black people against Barack Obama saying, okay, show me a white Tea Party Republican. This neighborhood is the way it is, and it has, and it's because of Democrats. There's no Republican. And the guy that represents the area, he don't live there. He might own a building, but he don't live there. He owns a place just so he can probably claim that's his district. Ridiculous. Got about 28 minutes left in the program, and I remember back in the day we used to do I pledge allegiance to the flag, Michael Jackson is a fag, Pepsi Cola made him pee, now he's drinking Pepsi Free as a joke, but we can still recite the pledge, you know. But when I remember that, I think it was the Pledge of Allegiance, it was a Super Size Me movie where they, I pledge allegiance, I think to the flag. I don't remember. Okay, can you do the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag, one nation under God with liberty and justice or something. I don't know. Can you do the Big Mac song? To all be patty, special sauce, cheese, pickles, and CBC bun. They could do that, but they cannot sing or say the Pledge of Allegiance or whatever, you know. But they could not, they didn't know the national anthem. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light? They couldn't recite it. I'm not going to sing the whole thing because I suck as a singer, but it's just, I mean, where are these kids? They're out looking for Pokemon, you know? You don't have to worry about reporting on ISIS there, John Kerry, because this generation doesn't care. They're worried about Pokemon. You tell them, if the evening news would tell you where the Pokemon was, people would tune in. Do you care about the news? No, they're going to tell us where another Pokemon is. Oh, wow. But, I mean, seriously. What was the statistic? I can't say that word. Statistic. That, like, I think it was like 85%, 75 to 85% of college kids, where did they get their political news? Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert when they were on Comedy Central. They don't watch the news. That's why, hey, how can we affect change? How can we get our message across without getting our message across? Well, because they don't watch news, so we can't get our message across there. We have to do something else. Let's start this Black Lives Matter stuff. That's what I used to think, but now this email kind of says that, okay, like, you wonder if, like, part of it is being done by, like, in the Democrats, there are some people that are helping this enrages Black Lives Matter and other people aren't. You know, like, we're going to try to get it to go away. We're not going to promise anything, not do anything. Who knows? It's just ridiculous. I never thought I would see a day where college students couldn't recite the national anthem. But then when you laugh for like 20 minutes when people sign a petition banning H2O. You know, really? But then you sit there and you go, it's sad that I'm laughing because they, you know. But then it's like I found on Netflix, they have the A-Team, and you noticed how the A-Team, every time they ran into an issue, they always ran into a barn. the barn didn't have like a helium tank. It didn't have useless junk. It had sheets of metal and like five oxygen tanks and five acetylene tanks and torches and all this stuff. And they had some sort of like big tractor or truck that they could put the metal and weld it on to make some like tank. You know? Yeah. It's just like they can't go in the barn where there's nothing there, you know, because that was one of my all-time favorite shows. And every once in a while, I just put on old TV to bring me back to the America I remember, the days I remember, you know, when you could actually, you know, because I took pride. I wanted to know my heritage. What am I as an American? What am I? What is our national anthem? I'm proud to be an American. You know, like my mom always says, when you come to this country, you become an American. If you want to tell someone, hey, I have Irish, my ancestry goes back to Ireland, great. My ancestry goes back to Poland or Ukraine or Russia, whatever. Okay, but you're an American. You know, like this post says, is this, hello government, I'd like to unsubscribe from your service. You know, I mean, if this, how would you say this? They should have like, I mean, like this Obamacare, you know? If it's so great, why does everyone that's high up... Oh, I'm not involved with that. Excuse me? Oh, yeah, I've got waivers. It's so wonderful that we're making sure all our friends have waivers. I don't know. I mean, there's a woman in Michigan who's facing fines for hanging a American flag on her front door. And when you look into this, I guess it's there, you know, it's in a condo. And a lot of these, when you look into them and you read them and you get into them, the more you find out, oh, they don't allow any flag. Because, well, if he can have an American flag, then I'll have a Confederate flag, and then I'll have an ISIS flag, and I'll have, before you know it. But then I bet you she could probably have an ISIS flag, and no one wouldn't even say anything, because it wouldn't. Not because it's ISIS, but because they don't know what it is. And but like 9 times out of 10, when they say you can't display a flag, you find out you can't display any flag. So it's not like they're banning the American flag. They're banning all flags, period. Read your homeowners association, read your neighborhood association, read your lease, whatever. If you're gonna have a townhome here, you cannot, you know, because there was one that I talked about this before. The big article was American flag banned, and when you read the whole article, oh, they don't allow any flags to be flown, you know. So it's just one of those things. But this is one that really caught my eye, and I want to get into this. Kim Jong-un, this is coming from the South Korea reports that one of his, like, vice premier people, like his high-ranking officials, Kim Jong-jin, was killed by a firing squad because he dozed off during a meeting. And is that coming here? Is that type of mentality coming to the States? Well, it's already here. It's called the media. You know, Dr. Drew was fired. I never thought I'd see someone fired for, hey, I'm concerned about the way she's, the medical treatment she's getting. I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something, folks. we need to make sure she's getting proper care. I mean, look at like Ronald Reagan when he started the presidency, when he finished. Look at George Bush when he started till he finished. Bill Clinton, they all age 50 times. But hey, I'm going to expose the truth and you're going to fire me. Maybe Fox News will pick him up and have him as a medical analyst. Who knows? But it's just wrong. I mean, I thought we had freedom of speech. I guess not. Just under 20 minutes left in the program. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in. And, you know, just watching the A-Team just brings me back to a totally different time. You know, there was no technology. You went outside and, hey, there's 20 bikes. That's where your friends are. That's how you knew where your friends were, where all the bikes were. Now you'd be on like chat roulette or something. You know? You have simpler times they were. There was no political anything. There was no, you believed the media. You believed what you're being told. I mean, if after these liberal media people got fired, if the liberals aren't saying, wait a minute here. Yeah, I may be liberal and so is he, but he should have the right to, if something's really going on with Hillary Clinton health-wise, we should know. We should know. But you won't know because the media has been paid for a long time ago. They're hoping, like George Carlin said, that you're just smart enough to get out of bed, put your clothes on correctly, go to work, come home, not realize you're getting paid less, you're getting screwed. Your taxes are going up. The richer are getting richer. The political class doesn't care about you, don't care about anybody. Only care about you getting the vote so they can stay in D.C. longer so they can get more money to line their pocketbooks. All the while putting a 5-gallon bucket of lube at your front door so you can get bleeped in the bleep. You know, that's all they care about. And people like me try to wake people up. You know, that's why there should be some outrage that Dr. Drew is being fired for expressing concerns about another human being. But it also goes with the other double standard. The DEA is basically not going to reschedule medical cannabis into a Schedule II drug, which is just it has medical benefits. Because it doesn't have any. The risks outweigh the benefits, even though the government owns a patent on cannabis. Since the 70s, yes, you heard me right, the 1970s, there have been people who have won a court case against the government and are getting cannabis for their disease. If you get a chance, check this book out. It's kind of, I think I've had it like 5 years now. And if you're local and you're nice to me, I'll let you borrow it. I got it signed by the author, Irvin Rosenfeld, and I've talked about him before. In 1982, he won a court case where, since 1982, when they said, say no to drugs, say no to drugs, and they had like Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan, and they were on, what's that show, Different Strokes, and they had the red balloons, I think it was the green ones, that said, just say no, and just say no. And Irvin Rosenfeld was getting 300 marijuana cigarettes from the federal government every month, and still does. Because I have a friend, because I'm a huge cannabis supporter and hemp supporter, and I use hemp body wash, and I eat a lot of hemp products. And I was talking to her about this, and she's looking at the book, and she goes, that's a prescription. I said, yeah, what the? And she started going ballistic. She goes, you mean to tell me I can get arrested for having cannabis and he's getting it from the federal government? I said, that's his whole argument. How can they be saying just say no in 1982? It has no medical benefits when he's getting it for a medical ailment. How can they have a patent on cannabis if there's no medical value? The only thing that's gone good about the rescheduling is supposedly they're going to allow for more testing so that they can find out. So that they basically don't mean anything. In my opinion, you could sit there, you could have a million clinical trials. Well, that's only for this one strain. That's only for the super purple haze. That's not for the girls. You're going to have to do, well, and still we don't think that's enough. You know, don't make up something to try to keep it but illegal, but and a Schedule One drug, which means it has no medical value. But California, Nevada, Maine, Massachusetts, and Arizona all have the ability to make it legal, recreational legal. And they've already passed in Colorado measures that say you just can't, like a police officer, you just can't pull over your car because you have a out-of-state license plate, because that's what they're doing. They were looking for people leaving Colorado with not a state plate and just pulling them over. And they say they have to have more just cause than an out-of-state license plate. Kudos. I applaud that 100%. You know, I think Colorado, I think since Colorado's done it, I think states are starting to see, look at all this stuff that the media said for years about cannabis is not true. Where's all this violence? Where's all this, oh, gangs are going to increase and violence is going to, all this stuff's going to happen. There's supposedly a lot of underground selling of it because there are people that say, since it's legal in Colorado, this guy goes, oh, I can go to any pot shop and I can get it. I can get you the same grade of marijuana, the same grade cannabis, almost anything you want there, I can probably get you in cheaper. Because I'm just going to sell it to you. We're not going to have taxes or anything. And there are a lot of people that claim that there's some people that sell it underground just because they can, I can get it for you cheaper and this and that. But I could see Nevada making it legal, possibly, you know, Massachusetts maybe. I don't know about Arizona or Maine, but it's just, you know, there's evidence that they were using it in the Egyptian times to help with pain and breast cancer. You know, I've said it before. But I mean, I can get morphine for my myopathy, but I can't get medical cannabis. Are you freaking kidding me? You have no idea what it's like. And I wish someone could walk a day in my shoes to know what I go through. I'm in a support group for myopathies. I do this show now twice a week and I work. The reason why I do it, there are 86,400 seconds in a day and I try to make the most of them. Sometimes it runs me into the ground. There's days where it's like, okay, I'm asking this day off. I'm going to burn my candle at both ends on these 3 days. So this day off, I'm sitting on the couch, watching TV, watching Manchester United, whatever, you know. But, I mean, I have to go to Washington State to get my CBD oil. It's legal. Real CBD. It's the only CBD company that I use and recommend or endorse, so. Yes. And yes, if you go to realcbd.org, those are the only CBD products I actually use. They're not cheap. And insurance obviously doesn't cover them, but that's what I use until I can actually get cannabis because I do believe it is the THC along with the CBD that helps. It's a combination of those two. And, you know, the CBD, CBN, you know, THC, all the compounds, because there's 48 compounds in cannabis. And like, I want to try, there's some really, really high end extracts of CBD that are like 28%, 40%, but they're so expensive that I can't afford them right now. But, you know, the stuff I use now, the basic tincture that you stick on your tongue, it's amazing. You know, so. And I think we are just seeing the ball roll. But right now, like even in Colorado, you have issues because like in California, you can get it for medical purposes. But, well, we won't hire you because, you know, you're using something that's still federally illegal, even though you got a medical prescription for it. And we don't want to deal with it because if you have it on you, you can technically still get busted, even though you're medically using it. Because I guess technically in Colorado, you can still get busted federally for it because it's still federally illegal. And so, who knows? But in some places, like in Michigan, there was a employee of the year that got hurt, and they tested him and he failed. He goes, "I'm on a medical marijuana program through the state." "Oh, well, they don't recognize that," and da-da-da, and he's suing. It's a whole mess. Employee of the year, and he's using it for medical purposes, but it's the fine line because they don't want to get... Because then you can say, hey, you're harboring someone that's doing something illegal, and it's just ridiculous. You know, I write my congressmen and senators all the time, and some of them have, like, you know, "I'm glad we have a difference of opinion, but I don't think it should ever be legal," and da-da-da, and I'm like, and I just want to meet them and say, hey, you know, come in there and bring my walking stick, say, hey, you know. Walk them up, but that's the problem we have. Why do you think, right after World War II, when the doctor was doing operations, cutting soldiers up, he started to notice that, hey, these soldiers that are smoking those Lucky Strike unfiltereds, their insides are, oh my God, disgusting. And he was starting to put the link to tobacco and don't do it. It's deadly. It's dangerous. And as we all know, they took the cigarette out of the tobacco out of the cigarettes, and they brewed a tea out of it, and they basically concluded that when they poured it over rats' backs, that tea, they produced tumors, that it was cancerous in 51. And it was all the way up until 93 before the cat actually came out of the bag that, let me see here. This document right here says that in 1951, you poured the... You brewed the tobacco out of a cigarette like a tea, and it was poured over rats' backs, and it produced tumors. In 63, you had come to the conclusion that nicotine was a highly addictive substance, that we're in the business of selling nicotine and addictive substance. You've known, and you've covered this up this whole time. Like they said, what was it, in 1982, R.J. Reynolds... You know, Dave Gerlitz, the Winston man. You know, he was a Harrison Ford lookalike for R.J. Reynolds promoting Winston cigarettes. And this is in 82. And they came up to him and he goes, "You still smoke?" He goes, "Yeah. How come you guys from R.J. Reynolds don't smoke?" "Well, we don't smoke the product. We just sell it. We reserve the right to smoke for the dumb, the poor, the black, and the stupid." That was in 82. My point is, well, here's a private Learjet. Here's a million. Here's $20 million. You're not going to do anything to hurt the tobacco industry. You're not going to pass this legislation. You're not going to do this. There's documents going back into the 70s that secondhand smoke was as bad as, if I'm in a room with a smoker, I'm just as damaging myself as they are. And I'm not smoking. And that goes back into the 70s. But they kept, you know, it's... This country's been bought and paid for 10 times over. Well, here's a, you know, there was a pharmaceutical company that lost and had to pay a $2 billion settlement. Well, they made $8 billion. $6 or $8 billion. And they said, I guess $2 billion is just the cost of doing business. You know, they'll cover up stuff with pharmaceuticals. Why? Because they'll still make billions of dollars even if they get sued. So they got to give up $1 billion. Oops. We made $5 billion. You know, that's why I try to wake people up. You know, you have Dr. Drew being fired and no one's caring, and You know, it's just the government's been bought and paid for 10 times over, and all I'm going to do is make sure that you're smart enough to be able to start your car and go to work and go home and not realize you're getting screwed. You know, the government has a patent on cannabis. I think it's only a matter of time, because I think at least two or three of these five states will pass cannabis and make it recreationally legal. And for all you football fans out there, on August 31st, 2004, something magical happened that my wife is grateful for. Because for the purchase from Everton for 27 million pounds, Wayne Rooney was purchased, and history has, that's the history of, because the rest is done with. He's been amazing. Granted, my favorite player for Manchester United was Ruud van Nistelrooy. I got his jersey. I think it's like a 2002 jersey or one, something like that. You know, I like Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Zlatan Ibrahimovic is amazing. You know, it's just some of the people, like, I love Chicharito, but nope. Dimitar Berbatov, I loved him. But, you know, it's like, I want to get the jersey for this season, but I'm so afraid that as soon as I get somebody's, okay, hopefully they stay more than 2 years. But it's just been an amazing ride with Dimitar Berbatov and all these players coming and going. But the one constant, Wayne Rooney, just an amazing. And I think my wife's favorite. So, yeah. I like him. He's not my favorite, but I do like him. You know, but I did. It's just, oh wow, it's just amazing. It just seems like yesterday that we got him and acquired him, and now it's like, wow, I'm getting old, but it's a good thing though, you know. Like when they went on tour in Chicago, and I got a shirt that had Robert Van Persie on there because I loved him, and he's not even on the team anymore, and it's the last time I'm building anything with him on it, so I did that, and it was cool. It's just, now that we got a manager that's decent, I hope that we keep him, and hopefully he does great, and we can keep some players for more than, you know, a season. It's great. I think he's going to work out in the end. He's not my first pick, you know, but I think he's going to, you know, 60 seconds left. I think he's just going to be an amazing, amazing manager that's going to have to do a lot because there's so many that want to get back to the top that haven't been there for a while, you know, so. So it's going to be, I just think it's going to be like it's a dogfight, I think, because you have all these teams that were, you know, seventh place, eighth place, or ninth place, or whatever, and now they want to get back to the top. It's just going to be incredible. It's going to be fun to watch, and I think it's going to be a season where if you start watching, you may not have been a fan, but you'll become a fan. I've been a fan for as long as I can remember, so it's just great. And I want to thank you all for. And with the firm reliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Till next time, goodbye, and God bless. Till Tuesday.